1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 1. It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you'll help us tonight. I think, Lord, what we're going to learn will be practical and certainly needed. And so thank you, Lord, for a month where we can, Lord, focus on spending time encouraging others. But Lord, there will be those times, dear Lord, when we also need to know how to encourage ourselves. And so I pray, Lord, that the teaching tonight will be very practical and helpful as we go forward in our Christian life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank you very much for standing, church. Well, as I mentioned in my prayer, this is a month where we are certainly focused on the idea of encouragement. And the challenges have been for us to look around and find other people that we can be an encouragement to. Very excited about some of our ambassadors from our church that we've set out, ambassadors of encouragement, to visit some of those in ministry. And we've had a few go and come back, and the reports are encouraging and exciting to see how much of an encouragement this has been to those who have been visited. Matter of fact, almost to a one, they have either called me or texted me and said, thank you so much for Blessed Hope Baptist Church having a heart to invest the way you invested and send folks out and be an encouragement. And so it's making an impact. And of course, that's not the only thing we're doing. We're encouraging our folks to be very attentive to our senior saints during this time, especially our widows and our widowers during this month, and let's not fail to reach out to them. So, you know, the emphasis, of course, is on this matter of encouragement and encouraging others. But I thought it would be well worth our time on a month that's focused on the subject of encouragement to teach a Bible study or a lesson on how to encourage yourself. Because there's not always going to be somebody that is there to encourage you when you need encouragement. You know, folks, I'm glad that somebody from Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going out and seeing these kids that grew up here, young people that grew up here, now in ministry. But that's once, and they've got to do this for a whole year. And you're thankful when somebody encourages you, and people will be blessed as you think about others to encourage. But the honest truth is, folks, well, we can't count on that. I think it's a wonderful thing when someone takes the time to encourage you, and it's a wonderful thing when I take the time to encourage someone else. And it is a right thing to do to take a month and emphasize the importance of this. It's a wonderful thing to receive encouragement from others. But listen to what I'm going to say next. It is foolish to expect your encouragement to always come from other people. I want to say it again. It's foolish to think that every time you need encouragement, it's somebody else's responsibility to encourage you. Now, you say, preacher, that must mean everybody's bad. No, no. You cannot count on encouragement always coming from other people. You say, well, why? Because the best of people are people at best. Did you hear what I said? The best of people are people at best. And sometimes we just honestly will fail at noticing or fail at doing this. We are going to be hyper I think, active in it for a month, and that's good because it gets us back into it. But human beings are human beings, and so that may wane after a while. And so, don't always live having everybody else on trial. If you're discouraged, it's not everybody else's fault, because the Bible teaches us there is a way to encourage yourself in the Lord, and you can't always be expecting it to be everybody else's job, because the best of people are people are best. Because honestly, watch this. Don't forget that people have their own burdens. And the person you may be sitting in judgment on because they haven't come to encourage you, if you knew what was going on in their life, maybe you should be encouraging them. And not all burdens are visible, and not all heartaches are public. And the honest truth is, again, if we think about it, everybody's carrying something. And so there's not that people don't care, but we're all going to fail each other and fall short in what we should do in this area. And honestly, sometimes it's all we can do to carry our own burdens. And sometimes we just have to kind of hunker down underneath that for a while and do it. And let me just say this. Sometimes people are held on trial for falling short in this area. But listen, you know why sometimes they don't encourage you? Because they may not even know that you need it. Well, they ought to. I come in pouting. I mean, I sit back here and try to look as tortured as possible, hoping somebody will notice so they can come and pat my hand and say, "What's wrong with you today?" But, oh my goodness sakes, folks, listen to me. I want to just give you a reality, okay? God is sufficient. And this is the way I look at it, okay? I look at it this way. If anybody ever reaches out to be an encouragement to me, that's just bonus. Okay, I'm not going to hold people to an unrealistic expectation level. And I'm not going to blame everybody else if I'm down and discouraged and then turn around and let that create a bad spirit in my life towards my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm sorry, but that's pretty immature and selfish of us to sit around thinking we're the only ones that have a problem in the world, and everybody ought to always be coming and checking on us. That's pretty spiritually immature. And so, you know what? My job as a Christian is to mature to the point where I have an understanding and understand how to encourage myself. Now, every Christian needs to be able to know how to encourage himself. And so I want you to look back at verse number 6. The Bible says in verse number six, David was greatly distressed. By the way, look back at verse number 4. Then David and the people that were with him, so not just the people that were with him, but David also, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Okay, so it wasn't David that was untouched by this. David also wept till he had no power to weep. David had gotten to himself to the point in verse number 6 where the Bible says he was greatly distressed. And so was everybody else around him. I mean, if he's looking around expecting someone else, come on, to cheer him up, the honest truth is they're experiencing the same loss he's experiencing. They are having the same worries that he's worried. Come on, man. Sometimes we don't put ourselves in that, but can you imagine coming to your hometown and you're away and the men have been doing battle and they come back and every house is empty and you don't know where your wife is and you don't know where your children is and everything's been burnt with fire and you're looking around praying that you don't find a dead body and then they look around and there's no dead bodies, but then where are they and what's happening to them? And everyone was feeling the same thing here. But wait a minute, watch this. You know what? As a leader, David could not succumb to it like other people succumb to it. And folks, listen to me. Men especially, I think we got to provide this type of leadership in our family, okay? You know what, folks? Listen to me. It's okay if my wife gets discouraged sometime. And you know what? As a leader of our home, me and her may be discouraged over the same thing, dealing with the same circumstance, having the same heartache. But as a leader, I'm sorry, I need to know how to encourage myself in the Lord. And if I can encourage myself in the Lord, then I can encourage those around me in the Lord. And so every Christian needs to know how to do this. David, the Bible says at the end of verse number 6, but, here's the exception. David encouraged himself, now notice this, in the Lord his God. So every Christian needs to be able to know how to encourage himself. You cannot do this alone. I want to say it again. You cannot do this alone. Wait, preacher, I thought you said that David encouraged himself. Well, I did say that, but that's not all it says. David encouraged himself. What's the next three words? In the Lord. Now think about this. Now, David had wept until he could weep no more. And David was greatly distressed. And David was suffering the same loss as everybody else around him. But listen to me, folks. It's not this matter. And I want you to understand this. As a Christian, if you're going to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord, you're going to have to understand that those three words in the Lord are very important. Because the world will tell you that you just need to learn how to encourage yourself. I mean, this is why the world will say, hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And they don't mention the Lord. The world will say, give yourself an old-fashioned pep talk. But they don't mention the Lord. How about this? You need to dig down deep inside of yourself. And what are we leaving out when we hear these cliches? And the honest truth is, you can say, you know what, I've tried pulling myself up by my bootstraps and I can't get to the top of my boot. All right, I've given myself an old-fashioned pep talk, but it's just one discouraged person talking to another discouraged person. And I've dug down deep inside of me, and you know what I've found? That inside of each and every one of us, there's a human limit. But I've got good news for you. When it comes to God, His strength is limitless. His strength is limitless. David found self-encouragement, but he found it through the Lord. He encouraged himself. By the way, you look at that word encouraged himself. It means to make strong, to strengthen, to cure. Sometimes we need a cure, okay? Emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, we need a cure. It means to help. It means to repair. It means to fortify. The source of his encouragement was not found inside of David. Well, preacher, I'm just not a David. Well, maybe not, but you've got the same God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. So, isn't that interesting? Have you ever tried to encourage yourself without the Lord? And we can pull it off sometimes. Sometimes I've pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Sometimes I'd look in the mirror and say, listen, sissy, just get out there and do it. And sometimes we give ourselves that pep talk. But folks, we're talking about a level of discouragement that these folks were experiencing right here, that it was beyond any human effort. It was beyond any pep talk. I mean, this has devastated this entire group of men, and they needed God. And we all need God. After trying to find encouragement through yourself, you're going to find out that that runs pretty low, and it doesn't last very long. I remember that I came home one Sunday morning. It doesn't matter. It's years and years ago. And it had not been a good Sunday morning. And I was battling some things personally. We were battling some things in our family. I had come over and studied during the week. And I had a message that I thought was going to be a help to folks. And, you know, it was one of those mornings where I struggled to preach it. And people struggled to listen to it. And it didn't feel like I was connecting. And, you know, I go to the back and everybody's just kind of shuffles past and don't want to catch my eye, because who wants to look into the eyes of an utter failure who tried to preach a message and just didn't pull it off that morning? And it was just one of those days where I kind of dragged myself to the vehicle after church and I drove home alone. And then I went in the house and I sat down and my wife's in there making the meal. And I thought, well, surely she's going to tell me what a great message that was. And she ignored me also. And I'm sitting on the couch and I pulled the phone out and thought, somebody's going to text me. Someone's going to text me and say, that was a life-changing message. Somebody's going to text me and say, preacher, I'm going to tell you, you were a blessing to me. And then you know how you get into the real pity party and you start having like these unreasonable thoughts. And I thought, well, if nobody's going to text me, then I'm going to text myself. And I didn't even know if it was possible. So I pulled up a new text. I typed my number in it. And then the number's there. Let's see if it actually comes through. And then I text, that was an amazing message this morning. And I hit send. And I was watching it. And all of a sudden it went ding. And I looked at this text and said, wow, that was an amazing message this morning. I started feeling kind of good, you know. And so I thought, she said, who's that? Who's texting you? Hold on a minute. I think there's another one coming through. Ding. You are the greatest preacher in all of the world. Wow, I'm the greatest preacher in all of the world. She said, well, who's writing that? She's beginning to get suspicious. I don't know. There's another one coming through. And she looks around the corner and here's her prophetic pastor husband who is texting himself, trying to encourage himself without the Lord. And then after I sent myself 5 or 6, that kind of wore off pretty quickly. Instead, I became more discouraged because I thought, what kind of a loser has to send himself encouraging texts? Man, I really am at the bottom here. What are you saying, preacher? We can all do that, and sometimes a little of that will work. But the honest truth is, we're kind of fooling ourselves if we think we're going to have the strength to be able to pull ourselves up, always go forward in our own encouragement. Folks, you know what David had as an advantage that you have? The same thing. You know what? We all have the same God that David had. And if he can encourage himself in the Lord, you see, folks, self-encouragement that tries to strengthen oneself from within will soon reach the bottom of a pretty shallow well. Self-encouragement that draws from the strength of the Lord will find a limitless supply. So, you know what he did? He encouraged himself, the Bible says, in the Lord. But wait a minute, that's not all it says. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord, and there's two more words. What is it? What are they? Is God. Now think about that. Now we're starting to get a little bit of focus, okay? All right. Preacher, I'm discouraged, and I've tried to encourage myself. I'm waiting for other people to encourage me, and that's not happening, so I've tried to reach inside of myself and find encouragement, and that's pretty shallow and meaningless after a while. So I am going to encourage myself in the Lord. Wait a minute. David said in the Lord, his God. You can say in the Lord, my God. Now, wait a minute. All of a sudden, something's starting to happen, okay? Because the minute that you remind yourself that you are his, all of a sudden, all of a little bit of light, just a little bit of light shines through that clouds, okay? Just a little bit of light, and that dark tunnel at the end of the tunnel shines through a little bit. And all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. Why do I have access to the Lord? Why can I count on the Lord? Now folks, every once in a while, I'm helping you. Well, if you want to encourage yourself, one of the first things you need to remind yourself is that you're his. And he's yours. That's pretty awesome. I like the song, my father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. How about that chorus? I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. And then we can think about this verse. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice and a stranger by birth, but I've been adopted. My name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel a little something. You know, okay, you know what? Hey, maybe things aren't going well right now. And maybe I've had a tough time. And maybe I haven't felt the best. And maybe I've had some reversals. But you know what? I'm still his. I still belong to God. I'm still a child of the King. A tent or a cottage? Why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Though exiled from home, yet still I may sing all glory to God. I'm a child of the King. See, by reminding himself, by David reminding himself that he belonged to God. Come on, that the Lord is my God. It also reminded him of how that came to be. And I would say this for all of us, nothing will encourage you as a Christian more than just going back during times of discouragement to the day that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay, maybe things aren't going right, and maybe I am struggling in some of these relationships, and sometimes I'm experienced some financial reversal, and or maybe I'm going through a time of sickness, and or maybe I've just got the blues. Maybe some grief and sorrow has just come back to visit me in a way that I didn't even think was possible, and I thought all of that was way behind me, but here it is again. But wait a minute. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Folks, this life's a vapor. It appears but a little time and vanisheth away. And you know what? I go back to the time that I got saved. Hey, God loved me and he loved you enough to get the gospel to you. And he saw to it that you had an opportunity to hear how much that God loved you and that Jesus died for you and that he was buried and rose again the third day and that he paid for all of your sins. And you heard that message and you received the gift of eternal life and you called out and you asked Christ to save you, and nothing that can happen on this earth is ever going to be able to take that away from you. So you think about that. You say, preacher, how does a person encourage themselves? I believe that the secret is found in those last two words, his God, his God. Because all of a sudden when you remember that you're a child of God or a child of the King, that brings all kinds of other things that will help you along your way. Let me give them to you quickly. I'm going to give you three things tonight. Number one, as a child of God, I've been given a love letter from my Heavenly Father. As a child of God, preacher, how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? Well, your Heavenly Father's given you a love letter right here. And you know what, folks? I can sit on the front porch and look up and down the road and just wait and wait and wait and get a bitter spirit about my brothers and sisters because they ought to know all that I'm going through. And it's been a long time since anybody wrote me a letter, texted me, or said something nice to me or come by and visited me. And I can get bitter and mean and nasty, but you know what I could do? I could say, hey, somebody loves me. Look, God wrote me a letter. God wrote me a love letter. You know, folks, these scripture songs that we're learning, think about this. They'll be a blessing to you. And Psalms 19, you know, the law of the Lord is perfect. Think about that. I mean, come on. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Preacher, I feel soul sick. Well, I can tell you how you get it fixed. You get into the law of the Lord because it's perfect. And it'll convert, it'll transform your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Preacher, I don't even know what to do. I've got decisions to make and I'm confused. Well, the law, come on, the testimony of the Lord is sure. I don't even know what's right and wrong anymore. The statutes of the Lord are right. By the way, rejoicing the heart. What? Well, I'm discouraged. We'll get into the scriptures here. Come on. Think about this. They're right. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. Sounds like they're getting happier. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And preacher, I feel like I've lost my way and I can't see which way to go. Well, here you go. Get into the Bible. Listen, folks, there's got to be a connection with this book if you're going to keep your heart and mind in a good place. Everybody's trying to figure out some other way to stay happy, and yet they have no relationship to the Bible. And it's, again, I could surround you and I could send 50 more people over and we could all make you the center of the universe and we could put all of our time and attention and you'd still spend half of your time in a pity party. You know why? Because until you decide that you're going to get into this book and have a relationship with, this book, going to keep this right and you're never going to keep this right. Well, think about all that the Bible does for us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous, are together more to be desired than attention and pity. Come on. Listen, you know, if you get into the Bible, it'll cancel your pity parties. It really will. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great, great reward. Now, I want you to kind of view your Bible in a different way here, okay? Because there's a lot of different things in the Bible. And I heard a preacher teach this one time, and it's helped me so much. He said, you got to start viewing your Bible and learning your Bible and kind of treating your Bible like you would your medicine cabinet. Everybody got a medicine cabinet someplace in your house where you keep all the medicine, okay? The older you get, when you're young, it's just one little shelf, okay? Then it starts growing, takes over an entire corner, you know? And the thing about it is, you know, when you go to the medicine cabinet, you don't say, preacher, I just don't feel good, and so I'll just go to the medicine cabinet, I'll just open it up, and you've got all these different kinds of medicine, and you just say, well, I just don't feel good, so I'm just going to close my eyes, and I'm just going to reach in there and grab whatever I grab, and I'm going to take it and hope that it fixes me. Now, if you grab the wrong thing, it can fix you all right. You can be fixed for a few more days. I mean, you know, folks, we don't treat medicine that way. But this is what we do with the Bible. We'll say, well, I just don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm just going to trust the Lord, and I'm just going to, all right, that must be what I need today. But beware of men. All right, I'm not leaving the house. For they will deliver you up to the council. See, I guarantee you, they're having a secret business meeting, getting ready to vote me out of the church. They'll scourge you in the synagogue. All right, that's it. I'm never going back to church again. They're going to get me and they're going to whip me. And we use that much sense when it comes to the Bible. Now, folks, one of the things about reading the Bible that you have to start, and this will help you so much. You've got to start paying attention to the different parts of the Bible and the purpose that they serve in your life. Okay? For those of you that say, preacher, and by the way, I'm not trying to belittle you for this. Some people just fight discouragement more than others. It's just a fact. I've got dear friends in the ministry. I'm talking about preacher friends that honestly fight discouragement. I mean, they really fight discouragement. I mean, to the point where it is scary sometimes. Probably most people around them don't know it. I wouldn't know it if I wasn't a close friend. But, you know, one of the things that as you're reading your Bible, and some of you got a Bible reading plan, all of you should have a Bible reading plan, amen? All right, have you ever gone through your morning devotions and you just hit a few verses that are like incredibly encouraging? Oh my goodness. Well, you know, you can go to the back fly leaf of your Bible and you can write on the top of a blank page, encouraging verses. And then as you find encouraging verses, you ought to write those not the whole verse out, just the reference down, because you're going to need the whole page, because there's a lot of encouragement in this book. And you know what? You'll read some more, and a few days later, oh my goodness, that is a great verse there. That's an incredible chapter there. That is a wonderful psalm. That is encouraging. That blessed my soul. I mean, you know, you get to psalms like Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes. Come on, unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Thank you, Lord, I needed that. Pull my pen out right in the back of my Bible, Psalms 121, on the page where it says encouraging verses. And now I read my Bible and I keep finding these and the list keeps getting longer. And all of a sudden I go to a tough time. And all of a sudden here comes the trials. And all of a sudden here comes the burdens. And all of a sudden here comes the problems. And, you know, you're looking around. Does anybody even care? Does anybody even notice? Yeah, he does. He notices every time and he cares every time. Okay, like I said, human beings are going to fail you. If you're going to hook your Christianity and your state of your spirit to the people around you, you're always going to be in trouble. Okay, folks, listen to me. Let me just even help you as your pastor, okay? Do you realize my job is not to take the place of God in your life? Okay, some of you need to take your pastor off trial. Because no matter what I do, it's never enough for you. Well, do you realize it's not my job to take the place of God in your life? It's my job to point you to the God who's always there. Okay? And so all of a sudden you hit one of those rough spots and you're like, Lord, you know what? I need some encouragement. I need to encourage myself in the Lord, my God, the Lord, my God. Okay, you know what, God? You're still there. And I can still remember the day I got saved, and I'm yours and you're mine. And you, oh yeah, you wrote me a book. And you know what? I was taking, I need these right now. Let me look this one up. And all of a sudden, you know what? You get a little bit of encouragement. Well, that worked. Let me get a little more. Listen, folks, if you go to your medicine cabinet, okay, and you go in there and you've got sinus trouble and a sinus headache and you drink Pepto-Bismol, it's not going to help your sinus pain, okay? Are you getting this? And what you have to do is spend time in this book and begin to, you know what, treat parts of the Bible and know where to go to. I said this recently at the beginning of the year when we were talking about the different options, you know. I told folks, I said, listen, my first year of cancer and those treatments I went through, I lived in the book of Psalms. I lived in the book of Psalms. Well, why? Because I needed it. Because there were some tough times. There were some tough stretches, you know. I mean, you go through chemo and you go through radiation. You go from 195 pounds down to 155 pounds in about 4 months. And you lose strength and you lose vitality. And the doctors are concerned and there's no promise of anything. And you know what? I'm as human as anybody in here. But you know what? By the way, all kinds of people in this church reach out to encourage this pastor. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But I'm sorry, there were some dark nights in the hospital where none of you were there. And I had a wife that stayed by my side. I had family that was there to encourage me. But folks, listen to me. All that eventually is going to fall short. And there's going to be those times where if you don't find God, then you know what? You're going to quit on the Lord. You're going to do something stupid. You're going to make a bad decision. Ultimately, all that other stuff I just talked about, the human part, bonus. Bonus. If I didn't have any of it, I wouldn't have an excuse to quit on God. You know why? Because I got saved clear back in 1966. I've been saved for over 50 years. Shame on me if I don't know enough of the Bible or I have close enough relationship to God. Come on, I told my wife, I'm not going to spent 40 years telling people that the Lord is sufficient and that he will see you through and then act like it's not true. Okay, so as a child of God, we've been given a love letter from our Heavenly Father. Okay, two more things. They're going to be quick. Don't despair. Or they might not be. As a child of God, I have an exclusive invitation to visit Jesus Christ anytime I want. Where do you get that, preacher? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. In case you had any question what that portion of Scripture was talking, who he was talking about, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm not talking about pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. I'm not talking about giving yourself a pep talk. Okay, I'm not talking about just reaching down and digging down deep inside of yourself. I'm talking about as a child of God, we got something much better than any of that. And I'm not talking about looking up and down the road and expecting everybody else to do this for me. At some point in my Christian life, come on, I need to be mature enough to realize I have a God in heaven, a heavenly Father, a heavenly Father. I'm a child of the King. And he sent me a love letter, and I can get into it anytime I want. And by the way, I have Jesus Christ. And he is that high priest. And he's given me an open invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. And there I can find help in time of need. And so not only can I get into the Bible and be encouraged, I can go before the throne of grace. Why? Because I have a high priest. And by the way, he's been touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Think about that. He was in all points tempted like I have been tempted. And every time he was, he won. He never failed. He never sinned. He never had a bad spirit. And if he did it, he can show me how to do it. That sounds like a good one to hang around. And by the way, he's waiting, seated on a seat that is called the throne of grace. And by the way, he doesn't need a Facebook page because he doesn't need one. So why don't you get off Facebook and why don't you go find the throne of grace? You know, if I post enough, you know, I love these people that get on social media and they pray, I'm in the middle of an incredible crisis. Can't talk about it. And all these people get on, oh, what's going on? Oh, man. Oh, amen, amen. Oh, amen. Oh. I thought, did he post God before he posted that, you know? I'm sorry, but so many things, people fabricate. I'm telling you, people fabricate nonsense to get attention this day and age. Good night. What's wrong with us? Are we 7 years old? Come on. I've got a heavenly Father. I've got a Savior. I've got a high priest. He's waiting, seated on a seat. By the way, he's seated on a seat that has a name. And it's called the throne of grace. Guess what you can find there? Mercy. You can find grace. You can find help. Help. When, preacher? In time of need. One of those needs is the need for encouragement. Okay? Preacher, good night. This whole thing's about going in that month. It's about going and finding somebody to encourage. And we ought to. And that's still important to do. And it's still in the Bible commanded for us to do. But I'm just telling you, as a mature Christian, folks, our Christian life and the level of our stability shouldn't be tied to people. And at some point, you know, can I just ask you a question? Who do you think I go to for pastoral counseling? You know, it's, come on, men. I've never seen so many weak men in this generation. I've never seen so many men that get their feelings hurt so easily. I've never seen so many men that are so needy. I've never seen so many Christians so needy. Okay, you know who can fulfill all of our needs? Him. 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 People just reaching out and grabbing on this person, grabbing on this person, grabbing on this person, grabbing on this person, grabbing on this person. When's the last time you grabbed onto him? Okay, you're being tough. Well, sometimes we need a little tough love. Amen. All right, so think about it. I mean, David was cried out too. He wept till he could weep no more. He was greatly distressed. And he turned around and looked at his men. And you know what they were doing? They were picking up stones. Well, maybe I'm getting some encouragement from my wife. She's been kidnapped. Well, what about my children? They're gone. Well, maybe I can just go set my house for a while. It's burned down with fire. Okay, David, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And every one of us is going to face at some point in our life where there's nobody left but God. And I think God sometimes orchestrates that because you know why? He wants us to find him. Is this helping you? I hope it is. Let me give you this last thought. As a child of God, I've been given the wonderful gift of the indwelling of the Spirit of God. Now, folks, this is how we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. I need my Heavenly Father, and I need the love letter that he's written to me. And I need to go to a member of the triune God who has walked on this earth. And he's experienced all my infirmities. And he's been tempted as I've been tempted, and he understands. And then all of a sudden, it occurs to me, wait a minute, doesn't the Bible say something about, how did Jesus put it? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, what? Comforter. I need some encouragement. I need someone to comfort me. that he may abide with you forever. John 14:26. Boy, I hope somebody's getting this tonight. But the Comforter, which is your Facebook buddy, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Comforter. It literally means, if you look up that word comforter, a consoler. And when you're going through a tough time, it's nice to have somebody sit down beside you and console you. Okay? You don't need somebody to sit down beside you. You have that consoler living inside of you. Okay? Better than sitting beside you, he's inside of you. Inside of you. How in the world do we get through things? How do people in our church have made it and managed to get through different things? Mercy. I've watched folks go through things in this room that honestly I can't even wrap my brain around. I sometimes question, if I had to go through that, would I even make it? Would I still live for the Lord? Would I still serve God? Would I have quit? And you just kind of look at them and think, well, how did they find the grace to get through that? Well, folks, I don't need the grace. They needed the grace. And when you need the grace, God will give you the grace. But he's put inside of us a comforter, one who is able to lessen the grief. If you begin to turn to the Holy Spirit of God, come on, I'm done. But you got a Heavenly Father that's given you a love letter here. And you know what? When there's nobody else to comfort you, there's comfort here. And you know what? You've got Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of grace. And he said, come boldly. Come on, come to me, come to me, come to me. Well, I will when I get time, but I'm in the middle of feeling sorry for myself. Well, when you get done, come to me, come to me. I can give you help and grace in time of need. I can give you mercy in time of need. And then all of a sudden I can hear that still small voice inside of me saying, hey, let's talk. Well, I'm tired, I know. I'm discouraged, I know. I don't even know if I can get through today. I know, but you can. I don't know if I can. Yes, you can. You can. Just hang on. Just hang in there. God loves you. God's got you. God's got this. Okay, you know what? God never fails. His love never fails. You're one of his children. He cares for you like he cares for your children. You care for your children only much, much more than you could ever understand. And folks, listen to me. I don't know what you're going through tonight. And thank God. Listen, I'm not getting us off the hook tonight. I'm not saying that we shouldn't spend time encouraging people. But I just needed to come to the pulpit tonight and say, hey, you know what? If you're always relying on people, good luck. Good luck. It's not that we don't care. It's not that we don't want to, but okay. But the honest truth is there's somebody that's always there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear God, because every single one of us is going to get to that place, and I think that you will orchestrate it so that it is so. Not because you, Lord, have forsaken us, not because you don't love us, but because at some point, if we're going to be everything we need to be, we've got to start treating the human relationships and all the encouragement that may come from as just a bonus, just gravy. That's just extra. But our encouragement when it comes to getting through tough and difficult times, it has to come from our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father, our Savior Jesus Christ, and the wonderful Holy Spirit, that paraclete, that comforter that lives inside of us and can help us and carry us through difficult times. So I pray that this will be a benefit to your people tonight. We pray in Jesus' name.